Real quick, taking a look at our last week's lesson on accept one another, and this was a slide that we had up, and just reading off of it, what it does not mean, accepting one another, is that we are to accept someone who's living in sin, or someone who is being divisive. We looked at the example in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where they were accepting someone who is in immorality and in a an adulterous relationship, and Paul told them that they were puffed up and that that was not to be the case. And so to accept one another does not mean that we are to accept someone who is living in sin. That also does not mean that we're to accept someone who rejects the teaching of the New Testament. Now that might be extreme for us, but we come across it every now and then where someone is just flat out denying the teaching of Christ and they don't want to accept it and they don't live their life by it. That's not what it means to accept someone, to accept them. It also does not mean that we agree to disagree in order to maintain unity. Let's just not talk about it. Let's just have our differences and it's okay. We can be unified. That's not what it means to accept one another. It does mean that we accept one another in personal matters of judgments and opinions and liberties. And we spent this time looking in Romans chapter 14. We talked about liberties and some other things. And really, this is a subject that is regarding personal matters of judgment and opinions. This is not a scriptural matters. This is personal matters. These are the things that we are to accept one another in. Now, obviously, if it's a matter that violates the scriptures, a way of life that they're living, that's not something that we would accept because that would fall under someone who's living in sin or someone that doesn't hold to the teachings of Christ. This is someone of a personal matter and liberties, different judgments that they might have regarding their own personal life. Any questions on that before we move on? Tonight we're going to wrap up the study on admonish one another. We did take a look at the first slide last week and basically define what it means to admonish one another, and we're going to start with that same slide, and then if time permits, we'll move on to the subject of forgiving one another. This was the slide that we ended with last week, and as we said, now one of the most difficult things for a Christian to do is to admonish a fellow Christian, a fellow brother or sister in Christ. And yet, if it's done with the right spirit and with the right motive, it can obviously, and it will be, and will have a positive impact upon that relationship and upon the whole family of God, that is the local church. In Romans 15 and verse 14, where this study comes from, Romans 15 and verse 14, and concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness and filled with all knowledge and able and also to admonish one another. Paul expected them to admonish one another. And we're going to look at more verses that are even stronger language than that, and we'll see very clearly that it is something that we must do when the time is appropriate. And by our own experiences, we have seen that such a thing. Admonishment, what is it? Just defining it once again, to counsel or to correct or instruct. Webster defines it as to caution, to warn, to reprove mildly, to urge, and to exhort. So starting off with this question here, when would we need to admonish one another?
Someone's practicing sin.
Say it again.
When someone's practicing sin.
Okay. Yeah, very good. Anything else? I mean, there's a lot of Yeah, there's not like a definite, I mean, that's a big one. But go ahead, Lloyd.
Or when you see someone, you're concerned about someone, kind of the path they're going or the choices they're making starting to add up to just doesn't look like a good path they're on.
That's right.
According to the scriptures.
That's right, yeah. And really, those are the two big things. And so running through this slide, one would we need to admonish one another. When someone, like Lewis says, making a poor decision in their life, maybe they're hanging out with the wrong crowd, they're being foolish with their life, when someone is not being a good example according to the scriptures, when someone is being carefree with their life choices, not taking a stand for the truth, when someone is not committed to the truth, like Denise says, anymore, they're not living the life as Christ would want them, the life that Christ would want us to, or when someone goes against the law of Christ. Now, they kind of overlap each other, and it's really all saying more or less the same thing, but there's really just a few cases here, and that is when someone like on the bottom that violates the law of Christ and needs to be corrected based on the scriptures. And like Larry said, when somebody's making a poor decision in their life, or poor choices, maybe they need some guidance or encouragement to do the right thing. Those all fall in this line of admonishment. And then there's, I suppose there's different levels of admonishment, and I don't necessarily intend on going looking at all of those, but you've got the extreme, perhaps, of 1 Corinthians 5, even though Paul wasn't there, but he was telling them, you've got a man who is in living in immorality, and I've delivered him to Satan. That's pretty extreme. And he's telling them, you need to deal with this man. You need to put him aside. A little leaven, leaven's a whole lump. You got to do something about the leaven. Get rid of it. That's what he said. And then there's other words. You know, you got to care for him. And then we see, as we're studying in 2 Corinthians, with the results of that admonishment, that Paul had to them, that they were to do, that the Corinthians were to do to the individual. And there's some other examples that we can look at. But yeah, this is just kind of the overall picture of what when we would admonish one another, when someone is blatantly going against the law of Christ and someone is making a bad decision, maybe we need to help guide them and so forth. So, does anybody have any thoughts on that? The next question is, how are we to admonish one another? And this is really the core of our study, this next slide. But anybody want to say anything else about when we would admonish somebody? Go ahead.
I guess I think we often wait too late because I mean, if we're driving down the highway, we really don't want a warning sign after we went off the cliff. That's kind of too late. We want a warning sign that gives us time to make correction. And so I think of admonishment, you know, more so being something back here ahead of time before you're in a place where you need to be rebuked or corrected out of sin, you know.
Right.
I don't know. That's just a thought about that.
That's right.
And I think that's hard for us to do. Maybe we just don't do it in practice. I think we do it with our children, but maybe we're, for some reason, more cautious with our brethren when we shouldn't be, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to nitpick anybody. You know, it's not about nitpicking. It's about you're really seeing something, but do we really stop and say something?
That's right. Yeah, and the last point of this lesson is that we'll look at is how should we receive the admonishment, which is not really the point of our study, but I wanted to talk just a brief minute about it because that's the issue. It's like we don't do it because we're so concerned about how someone's going to react. Hey, you know, I can't think of anything, but I saw you walking out of the bar. What were you doing? And we fear for the worst, that they're going to scream at us and they're going to be like, well, who are you to judge me? And we shouldn't respond that way. But we fear that, and I think that's part of why we delay the admonishment, and so that's a good point. And so we'll talk about that in just a little bit more. Anybody else on this side here? So how are we to admonish one another? This is could be encompassed that like the spirit about the attitude behind it. We might talk about why we would do it, which is an obvious one because Scripture says to do it. But there's some other things and other principles in there. Our character or characteristic that we should have as we are admonishing someone. Those are the things that I'm thinking about with this question. How are we to admonish one another? I left you with that question last week. What thought did you guys put into it last week?
Meekness would be one thing.
That's right. Yeah. Meekness and gentleness. I will read a few verses there. Go ahead.
Patience.
Yeah. Let's look over at Galatians chapter 6. First of all here, let's start with this one. Galatians chapter 6 here says, beginning in verse 1, brethren, if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I had a side thought when I was putting this together, and it's kind of the opposite of this, but I think it's worth mentioning, and that is, it makes me think when someone is, and say we've got an issue in our life, and or just someone has an issue in their life, who do they go to? They're going to go to someone that they're maybe close with or they feel comfortable with. Well, oftentimes, and I've seen it even within the church, that they go to someone who is of the world, maybe a co-worker or a peer, a neighbor, you know, we're also close to them, just like we are a family and our brethren, but they choose to go to someone of the world and not someone who is spiritual minded. So what kind of advice are they going to get from someone of the world regarding whatever the issue is? I think the answer is still the same, no matter what the issue is.
They're going to get worldly advice.
Say it again.
They're going to get worldly advice.
They're getting worldly advice. They're not getting guidance from the scriptures. They're getting advice from someone who might be completely against the scriptures, or is they just giving an opinion? It's not based on scriptures. It's just maybe something that they feel is right. Brethren do the same thing sometimes, and that's where we're going to, actually the very next point, that this admonishment is from the scriptures and not from our opinion, based on our opinion and feelings. But 2 Timothy chapter 4, we know this verse. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, I believe it is, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myth. They go to their neighbor, they go to their coworker, because they don't want to hear the truth. They know what the truth is. A lot of times, right? I mean, sometimes it's really honest, and I would think honest and good heart of a Christian servant is going to seek a spiritual-minded person, an elder, you know, brother or sister in Christ that they really admire. If they're going to someone of the world, a lot of times, I mean, there could be several issues with that. The relationship with their brethren is sour for whatever reason. Shouldn't be, but it might be legit. But that should be worked on. They're guilty of their sin. They don't want to be. They don't want to face the truth. So they are wanting to have the ears tickled. They will accumulate teachers in accordance to their own desires. They don't want to hear the truth. I've seen it. I think a lot of it probably have. I've seen it in my life. They don't want to hear it. They go over here. They hear what they want to hear. Oh, all right. What I'm doing is good. It is right, and it's really not, it's not right. Getting back to the point, Galatians 6, those who are, he says, you who are spiritual, restore steps to one. There's a reason for that. There's a reason for that, because the spiritual-minded person should be the one giving advice, and they're going to give the advice, they're going to give advice from the scriptures. We're right here in 2 Timothy. Let's back up just a few verses, and this point is, how are we to admonish one another, and it needs to be from the scriptures. It's not our opinions. I think our opinions are okay to give sometimes, but it has to be from the scriptures, you know, what we're saying. And so we've got to be careful with that. But verse 16 of chapter 3, all scriptures is inspired by God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. That's speaking of the scriptures. It is for this purpose of correction, for reproof, and training in righteousness. That's what the scriptures is for. This is a prime example of where the scriptures come in to play, is to admonish someone. Someone is erring from the truth, making poor choices. We show them the scriptures. This is how we ought to live. And the scriptures is profitable for correction and training in righteousness. So it will be the scriptures that will bring them around. In Acts 2, and my mind is going from me, but in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, what was it that convicted the people? Peter's opinion? It was the scripture. It was what he had quoted. And that's what convicted. The word convicted him. And so it is when you admonish someone, has to be from the scriptures. And we, or as the admonisher, someone who's doing the admonishing, we have to have faith that the scriptures will do its job. And a lot of times we doubt it. We've seen it when it comes to having to withdraw from a brother. It doesn't work, they say. It don't work. Why are you doing that? And they do not have faith, that type-minded people, that's a lack of faith in God's Word. Because God's Word says, if you do it, it works. They do it, it works. But we tend to doubt, I think we doubt ourselves, with them, we're doubting the Scriptures. And so that's kind of a side note. But it's the Scriptures. We've got to believe in the Scriptures and have faith that the Scriptures will do the work. Before the next point, is any thought, anybody? Go ahead.
We also have to take consideration the soil. You know, God talks about different types of soil, and this soil was fertile, and they accepted the word of God.
That's right.
They stoned Stephen.
Yes.
So it depends. It depends on, you know, the parable of sowing the seed. It fell on stony ground. It fell on, you know, different soils, and on the soil.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Anybody else? Matthew chapter 7, we must be free and clear of hypocrisy. Remember this in Matthew chapter 7, he talks about why are you going, trying to get a speck out of your brother's eye and you got a log in your own? So that's what this verse is speaking of. Let's read it. In beginning of verse 3, this is Matthew chapter 7. And why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your own eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, Jesus says. First take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. And I think, I mean, it's a good point, and it's something that some guidance that Christ gives. If we're in sin ourselves, how can we go to someone and say, you're in sin? Not that we would word it that way, but you get the point. You know, you're doing this. We're doing the exact same thing, maybe a different thing, but it's a sin. Sin is sin. And so that's the point here. We've got to be free of hypocrisy, which is why we've got to be on ourselves and in our lives and be examining ourselves. And when it comes to receiving the admonition, we need to be willing to receive it, because we want to be right with God, and we want to be able, and to help others. And if we have a life full of problems, how are we going to be able to help others in that matter? The next one, Larry mentioned this, with gentleness and meekness in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, reading verse 7 and then also down in verse 11. But we prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother, tenderly cares for her own children, down to 11, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own child. There's a spirit of gentleness and meekness that goes along with admonishing someone and trying to help or counsel them as it speaks of the relationship of the mother and the children and the father and the children, and how we might yell at our children and raise our voice, but a lot of times it's not called for. It really ought to be more meekness and gentle with them, and that's the example here. In 2 Timothy as well, 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 24, and the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. So there's a lot of stuff in here. But really just pulling out what we're studying in verse 25, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. That's what we're talking about. Those who are opposing the law of Christ, living a life that's not right, making bad decisions. If perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may come to their senses, having escaped the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. That's the will of Satan. And Satan has them captive. But because you admonish someone and you're gentle about it and you're working with them and you're reading scriptures and encouraging them in that way, you snatch them from the devil. It's the other way around, right? And you bring them back to God. And that's all done because of the gentleness that we have as we admonish one another. And then there's this and the persistence in Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, you keep in mind, and this kind of goes to what Larry was saying, the danger of waiting. And here it's the persistence as you're on it and you're at it and you're trying to work with them. Verse 31. We're in Acts 20 and verse 31. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And so Paul is bringing up this point that, you know, he, for 3 years, day and night, he did not cease to admonish them. He was working with them, he cared about them, and he was constantly admonishing them, and it might not have been 24 hours a day, people got to sleep, but we get the point. It was on his mind. That's what he did. It needed to be done, and he did not cease in that action. And then also here in Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in 12, take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart and falling away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So this idea of encourage is a little bit different than admonish, but the concept is still there, and it's this idea of caring for one another and being that's the best way to say it, caring for one another, like really looking out for one another, because we're all trying to make it to heaven, and we're all trying to be right with God. And so here, encouraging one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin and be carried away by the lust of sin. It's an ongoing thing that we continue at doing. And then this is the final point here, and that is that each man be complete in Christ. That we be complete in Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, in verse 28 says, "And we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ." The whole point of this, Paul says, that we proclaim him, we admonish every man, teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. I mean, that says it all. That's the whole point, is that we admonish someone is because they are not complete in Christ based on our observation. So we go to them, we talk with them, we study with them because we want them to be complete in Christ. Maybe they are complete in Christ and we just miss something. That's very possible. And that's where this gentleness comes in. And you might say open-minded to not just barge in and say, you're wrong, but be like, I've noticed this. What's going on? Let's talk about it. And they might explain it and be like, oh, I understand now. As simple as that. But anyways, Ephesians 4 and verse 16. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. From whom the whole body being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. If the whole body working together, the body does not grow, the local body of Christ, it doesn't grow if parts aren't working. If there's sin in the congregation, active sin, whatever, people not walking according to the truth, that hinders the spiritual growth. Someone not wanting to learn the truth, and they're a part of the body, that has a negative effect. You know, we can talk, as we went through those lessons on being members of one another and how the body is held together and fitted together and they all work together. And so that's why I bring that verse up, just as a reminder that we are complete in Christ when we're all working together and each part is doing its part. In I think I missed a couple verses. Let's go back up from the scriptures. I got away from my notes. From the scriptures and not opinions. I don't believe I read any more than 2 Timothy, and I apologize for that. Let's look at Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. Now, this is speaking of the elders, but what an example it is for the rest of us. And just because it's a qualification for an elder does not mean that the rest of the body of Christ and Christians should not act this way. Let's notice what Paul writes here in Titus chapter 1. In verse 9, holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, that he may be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. And so, like I said, it's speaking of elders, but we've got to all be that way. We've got to be able to exhort in sound doctrine, to exhort, same word, with the truth, with the scriptures, and to refute those who contradict, those who are against it, don't want anything to do with it. I mean, there's different flavors of that, of how extreme and not extreme that would go, but it's anyway, that's all I want to say about that. It's it's something that we all need to be working on. And then over in Romans chapter 14, in Romans 14 and verse 1, he says here, "Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinion." Let me read that again. "Accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinion." So, sometimes when someone is being admonished for something, the admonishment is, like I've mentioned already, it's a lot of times it's based upon their opinions or their feelings about something. And it's not necessarily a wrong thing to go to a brother in Christ because their feelings were hurt. But there's a fine line between this admonishing someone, accepting one another, and all the studies that we've talked about. And there's personalities that drive us crazy about some people, you know. I mean, you know what I'm saying. And we tend to use stuff like that for this, and we slap this title on, well, you need to change this about yourself. But a lot of times it's okay. I mean, the person is, they're not doing anything wrong, but it drives us so crazy that we lose sight of where the scriptures, where we fall within the scriptures and what our responsibilities are. We need to make sure when we do admonish someone and when we're warning them and we're guiding them, that it's by the scriptures. Have the talk about personality differences. That's great. That's great. But it's different than this. It is not this. That's just, hey, you know, I don't necessarily like how you do this. Let's talk about it. There's nothing wrong with how you do it. It drives me crazy for some reason. Or you do this, or you do that, or you dress this way. I don't know. That's not this. That's something else. And I just want to make that point and draw that out. We've got to make sure when it comes to admonishing someone, it's based on the scriptures. It's based on the scriptures. This is our final point here. How should we receive the admonition? So, a lot of times, we don't want to hear it. We don't want to, someone comes and says, hey, I've noticed this about you, and it might even be legit. And you're like, we dismiss what they're saying, and it's like, leave me alone. You know, I mean, I don't know. I haven't been in too many talks like that, but there's a responsibility on the receiving part, and this is all we're going to talk about it in this class, and it does come up every now and then throughout our study. We've talked a little bit about it in the past, and we'll continue to. In fact, the next lesson on forgiving one another is. It kind of goes along. There's some points here that it goes along with. But let's turn over to James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, in verse 19, so what we're talking about here is how we should receive the admonition. "So this you know, my beloved brethren, but let every one be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls." This was the best verse I could find. I mean, this is like, wow, right? How do we receive the admonition? Be slow to speak. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Anger is not good because it does not achieve the righteousness of God. So outburst of anger, yelling at them, I don't know, throwing a punch. I've never seen that would be an outburst of anger. I suppose somebody might do that. Anger doesn't achieve the righteousness of God. Put all that aside. In humility, receive the word. Admonishing one another comes from the word. You see how it's all put together? It's when we go to someone, even though it's us, we're taking the word to them. And here it says, in humility, receive the word that they're bringing. I know that's not the context, but it fits beautifully. Receive the word which is able to save your souls. Which goes back to the last point, to that Paul said, we do all these things so that we may present every man complete in Christ. And they, in order to do that, it's based on the word. So, really driving the point home, when we are warning somebody and encouraging someone to do the right thing, it's got to be by the word. If it's not by the word, it's not necessarily from God. I mean, we have our thoughts and opinions, and they're based on the truth. But we've got to be careful with those things. When we bring the truth in the scriptures, it is what it is. I mean, it's as true as it is, and this is what will save your souls. And so that's how we are to receive the admonition. James 4:17 just says, therefore to one who knows the right thing to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. I just tack that on to everything that we've talked about. You know, when you've got that in the back of your mind, we teach our kids that, right? You know what's right. What are you going to do? You've got a decision to make. And so when we know these things and we do them, Scripture says, you know, the man is blessed. Happy is the one who does these things. Matthew 18. In Matthew 18 and verse 15, this is in the context of a brother sinned against you, and he goes on and he talks about if he doesn't listen to you, take more witnesses, and if you still don't listen, take it to the church. We're not going to look at that. I just want to look at verse 15, because we're talking about the question, how should we receive the information? Verse 15 gives a great point. And it says, if your brother sins, go and reprove him in private, and if he listens to you, you have won your brother. That's the point. We need to listen. We've got to listen to the one who is coming to us. And just like we read in James, you know, be quick to hear. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And it goes right along with what Christ is speaking of here. If your brother sins, go to him, reprove him, and if he listens to you, you've won your brother. So that's another thing for us to consider. That's all I have on this. I've learned that these classes, we could go on and on and on. There's so much we could say about them. I mean, I'm just really trying to get them into a 45-minute class, and so that we can talk briefly about a number of these different things.
I mean, when you're going to admonish your brother, you need to keep the fruits of the Spirit in the back of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Those will help. The fruits of the Spirit will help you get through helping someone else.
That's it. No, we've got to all. Yeah, I mean, yeah. This I mean, there's so much you can say about it. Like, we talk about the insecurity of man, and that's a big problem, because you're like, well, who are you, right? And all of a sudden, I'm like, I'm inferior, and you're like the leader of the congregation or something like that, and you're coming to me, and I have problems, and you're a saint. We think that way sometimes, and we really shouldn't, because we're all working together. We're all part of the same body of Christ, you know. In the local sense, that's how we have to view it. We're part of the same body from the same blood of Christ. We're all related, and we're all striving for the exact same thing, to be complete in Christ. Yet we can't stand to talk to one another. I don't mean that here, but I know brethren in that way. And like Larry said, we put it off, and we put it off, and then all of a sudden it is a big deal, because they've gone down, you know, off the path, and they're over the cliff, and we can't pull them back now. And I didn't say anything. Whose fault was that?
It's just like leaving a nail in your tire. Eventually it's going to go flat, and you're going to have trouble.
Yeah.
This goes hand in hand with all the earlier lessons, right? Being one with each other, right? Being in unity, knowing our brother and talking to them, knowing what's happening in their lives, knowing what they need, right? Knowing what's going on. That also allows us the opportunity, hopefully, flag something early, right, before they fell off the cliff. But if we're not interacting with and knowing and spending time talking to one another and knowing their needs and, you know, just knowing one another, then you're not going to get that. Then you also don't have a relationship to where people are willing to receive it.
That's right. That's right. And like Paul said, you know, with gentleness, as a mother would and a father would, and that's another thing we could talk about, is the approach of admonishing someone, and not just, but yet we also know the personalities of different people are different, and some people need to receive that admonition differently than others. And like you say, if we have that relationship with one another and we know one another, we'll know how to do that, and that's why it's so key to continue to build that relationship, to desire really to know one another outside of Sundays and Wednesdays. It's important. It's important to come together and study together, not just here but elsewhere, and you know. Anybody else? Go ahead.
James 3:17 says that the wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits. It goes on, but the words there, willing to yield, I think have the idea of being easily entreated. And so, you know, we want to be people who can be talked to, and receive it, as you've already talked about. But I think that verse speaks to that. And also Jude 22 and 23 tell us that we should be able to make a distinction. He says here, on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. I guess if you put it in terms we might use real loosely, we talk about, you know, kid gloves or a 2x4 or the seriousness of the discussion or the way we approach it. We make some judgments on how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And this tells us to try to do that with wisdom.
That's good.
And then I just had another thought unrelated to that, and that is when we're singing, one of the things we're doing when we're singing is specifically admonishing.
Mm-hmm.
We're teaching and admonishing one another. So, you know, here's a case where congregationally we are receiving, we're giving and receiving admonishment or warning from each other. And so it's really, of course, that talks about how important it is to really hear the words of what we're singing and know what we're singing and hear those. That's not very confrontational.
Yeah,
but it's a very powerful way to teach and admonish is through songs, hymns, and spiritual songs.
That's right. Yes. Anybody else? Thank you. Next week, we're going to get into and begin this lesson on forgiving one another. This is one of those lessons that's easy to say, but hard to do. It's relatively, for me even, it was a fairly easy lesson to put together, because it's like, just forgive them. Forgive one another, right? But there's so many things that go along with that, and as far as forgiving, and there's two aspects of forgiveness, and that is asking for forgiveness, and then there's granting forgiveness, giving forgiveness. And this lesson is going to be focused on granting the forgiveness of the one or the one who gives forgiveness to the one who did wrong. So it's kind of, I even had to go back through my slides. I've already got the class put together, but I confused myself on one of my slides, and every one of them I had flipped it in my mind and was talking about when I did wrong to someone else. Well, that's asking for forgiveness, which we got to do. We got to do. But the focus of this is the one to forgive one another. And you think about it, forgiveness is really a gift that we're giving to someone. They've asked us for something, and we're saying, yes, you can have it. This is your gift. So, interesting thing to think about. So next week, we'll get into forgive one another.